Good morning and welcome to the Sunday worship at historic Main Street United Methodist Church in Greenwood, South Carolina, where we are following Christ from City Center. It is with grief and regret that I announce to you the death of our sister in Christ, Mrs. Phyllis McQuaddy. Her funeral will be here at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. I invite you to take a moment of silence to thank God for Phyllis's life and to pray for her family, and then we'll stand for the greeting and our opening hymn. Almighty God, we thank you for the communion of the saints to which our sister Phyllis has now been joined. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please stand for the greeting. Blessed be God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our hymn is number 160, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let
us pray. Almighty and holy God, our Heavenly Father, you dwell in glory where your rule is unchallenged. But we, your children, for whom Jesus came as friend and Savior, live in a broken world where your rule is challenged on every front. Many do not know you as Father and think of you as a tyrant. Your holy name is misused and attached to all sorts of unworthy plans. We build up our own kingdom and forget yours. We stuff ourselves while others have not enough to survive. We bear grudges and forget the freedom forgiveness brings. We toy with temptations and their deadly pleasures rather than run away. Life ties us in knots because we have forgotten to pray and surrender. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, for we are in great need. Break our bondages and loose our bonds. Set us free into the broad place of forgiveness and glad obedience, that we may be true and faithful followers of your Son, who lived a perfect life, then laid it down in a great sacrifice for us all. As the Holy Spirit shines light within, I invite you to confess your sins to Almighty God in silence. Brothers and sisters, receive again the medicine that heals your souls. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. The first act of business is for those of you on the inside aisle to start the pads down. Everyone here, please register your attendance. If you just leave them at the end of the row with the sheets in them, that will be better. We welcome you here today to Christian worship. Our prayer meeting is Thursday at 7 o'clock in the chapel. I want to thank you for the silence you so quickly observe after the chime is sounded. On the way out today, you can pick up a copy of our midweek newsletter. You can also pick up a copy of a brochure on a course I'll be teaching on Wednesday nights. And our Wednesday night suppers begin not this Wednesday, but Wednesday the 5th at 5 o'clock. And you can now sign up if you're tech heavy by going to the website. You can sign up for any of our courses and also for the Wednesday night supper. I do remind you also that after the service, our sermon copies are up here to my right. In your bulletin, you'll find a card to sign up to be a lay reader or communion server. Methodist laity are encouraged to serve in these ministries. It's not a badge of spirituality. It means that you are a member in good standing and would like to serve the church through one of these ministries. If you would like to serve, we would love to train you. You just fill out the card and leave it there in the offering plate. And now, I invite you to pay attention to the Lord's Prayer drama.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes, what is it?
Excuse me, I'm praying here.
Oh.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Hello, I'm here.
Could you please just wait till I'm done?
Hey, you called me.
Oh, I did.
Yes. Yes, you said, Our Father, who art in heaven.
Oh, I was just reciting the Lord's Prayer.
And I was answering.
Ah!
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Right. Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
You really think so?
Think what?
That my name is hallowed.
Hallowed?
Yes, you know, holy.
Oh.
Do you respect my name?
Well, yeah. I guess I do.
How about yesterday on your way to work?
Ugh.
When you got behind that slow bus?
That. Hey, I didn't really mean what I said then.
How would you like it if everyone went around shouting, Oh, Lisa! Every time they hit their thumb with a hammer or got held up in traffic.
Sorry?
I forgive you.
Look, this is gonna take forever if you keep interrupting me.
Would that be so bad?
What?
Talking with me forever.
I don't know. I never thought about it.
Well, do. It might happen.
Oh.
Go ahead. Keep going.
All right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Whoa. You sure you want all of that?
All what?
My kingdom coming and my will being done.
Actually, I kind of like the on earth as in heaven part. We could use a little more heaven around here.
So what are you going to do about it?
Me?
You want my will done. Who did you expect to do it?
Well, I thought since it was your kingdom
you
that...
You can't have a kingdom without subjects.
No, I guess not.
Hey, it's not that hard. All you really have to do is love me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself.
No, brother.
And him too.
Excuse me. Look, could we just get on with this?
Sure. Don't let me stop you.
Right. Okay. Oh, I forgot where I was.
Give us this day.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Give us this day our daily bread.
You could use a little less bread, actually.
Hey, come on!
No, not that kind of bread.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, you could use less of what you want and more of what you really need.
All I asked for was a little bread.
And today, the bread I'm giving you is a half hour of Bible study, a free evening spent with your family, and a $100 deduction from your checking account for the World Hunger Charity of your choice.
All that? Just for me?
Just for you.
You really shouldn't have.
Hey, I like to give you good things.
Thanks a lot.
Come on. On to the rest of the prayer.
Excuse me, this is kind of dragging on. Why don't we just take a little break here?
There's not that much more, Lisa.
Well, you know, I'd really rather
Lisa.
Stop. Okay. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What about Patty?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Well?
Look, after all the things she's done to me... You expect me to just forget about it?
I don't know. How do you want your forgiveness, with or without forgetting?
Oh, come on. You know, she's not the least bit sorry. And she treats me like that all the time. I mean, enough's enough.
Whatever you say.
What do you mean, whatever I say?
Well, it's up to you. Right now, I'll forgive you for everything, as long as it's not a repeated offense and you apologize first.
What?
As you forgive, so you are forgiven.
Oh.
You said it.
Oh.
What do you think?
I don't know. I can try to forgive her, but what if I can't pull it off?
I'll tell you what. You do your best, and I'll do mine.
Okay.
And don't worry. My best is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, just a little bit more.
All right. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into... Boy, you would really be mad at me if I said that, wouldn't you? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that kind of a strange thing to pray? I mean, you're not going to lead me into sin, are you?
I don't know. You spend half your time asking me to.
What?
You love being tempted. You're always hoping I'll arrange things so you'll be helpless in the face of passions beyond your control.
Well, maybe once in a while. I wouldn't mind a little innocent excitement.
Lisa, if you can honestly ask me not to lead you into temptation, maybe that means you're halfway resolved to avoid it yourself.
All right. You got me again. You know, it seems like every time I open my mouth, you've got something to say that you want me to change.
Sometimes you expect a little more out of your immediate family. Come on. Time for the big finish.
All right. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Lisa, do you know what would really give me glory?
I'm afraid to ask.
Just keep talking with me, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I could do that.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like the children now to come down front and join me and bring your book bags. Come on down. And bunch up around me real close here. Here come some guys with some Batman book bags. Come on up close. Bunch up here, bring your book bags. Come on. Yeah. Have a question for y'all kids. How old do you think I am? 35. I sleep in the refrigerator. Anybody else got a guess? What year did I go to the first grade? Any first graders here? A long time ago. 1959. Wow. About 5 years ago, I pulled up to my church in Georgetown, and I went inside. And as I looked out the corner of my eye, as I was going into church, I saw a car pull up about 100 feet down the street. Now, the streets in Georgetown are old, and many of them go down like this. So the car was kind of tilted, and I went in the house, in the church, and something said, "Go outside and help those people." And I turned around, and I went out, and the car was there, and I opened the door, and I knelt down. And there in the passenger side was my first grade teacher from Charal, South Carolina. Her name was Mrs. Pate. She was coming to a doctor's appointment in Georgetown and had gotten lost. Her husband had Alzheimer's, and her hands were terribly gnarled from rheumatoid arthritis. And I squatted down at her height, and I said, "This is going to be really fun." And I looked at Mrs. Pate and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And she says, "I don't have a clue." And I said, "You taught me how to read in the first grade in 1959. And I've been reading ever since." And she said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Phil Thrillkill." And she squealed and threw her hands up in the air. And her husband leaned over and said, "Phil, is that you?" And I said, "Yes, Blondie, it's me." And I was able to give them directions back to the doctor's office. And I think the voice that said to me, "Go out and help those people," was probably the voice of the Lord. And I got to go thank a lady who taught me my ABCs and taught me how to read. God wants us to be grateful to our teachers, because I tell you, the things you learn in school will go with you the whole of your life. Now, everybody stand up. I want you to lift your book bag like you're lifting it up to God. Lift it up in the air. And I'm going to have a prayer over your book bag. Hold it up, guys, like this. I mean, I want them up in the air. Okay? Let's pray. Merciful God, we thank you for our school days, for the friends we meet there that go with us the rest of our lives, for all the Christian school teachers that flood our schools every day as missionaries. Bless these children. Bless their book bags. May this be a wonderful year of learning and gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you go to school tomorrow and you tell somebody that you have a blessed book bag and they say, "Mine isn't blessed," you can just put your hand on it. You can say, "I bless your book bag in Jesus' name," okay? We'll see y'all later. Where do they go, Kathy?
The little ones go with me.
Okay.
Come on. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
If you will take out your bulletin for a reading of United Methodist Doctrine, Article 15 of the Articles of Religion, titled, Of Speaking in the Congregation in Such a Tongue as People Understand. Jesus spoke Aramaic and probably some Greek, but the fact that the New Testament is written in Greek tells you the early church decided not to make Aramaic a sacred language. Else none of us Gentiles would have been in the faith. Now, up until the 1960s, the Roman Catholic Church did have a sacred language. It was called Latin. And only in the last 50 years has the Mass been available in the vernacular around the world. It is a principle of Protestant theology grounded in the Scriptures and the early Church that worship and sacraments are to be conducted in the vernacular, which means that you as English speakers can come to an English church and maybe with some difficulty understand all that is said. Let me read this statement of Methodist teaching for you. It also promotes missions in the fact that we are to go to all the language groupings in the world and we are to translate both the scriptures and the hymnal and all worship elements into the languages of the people, and that job is not yet done. So I encourage you to support with your monies the ministry of Bible translation. It is a thing plainly repugnant to the Word of God and the custom of the primitive church to have public prayer in the church or to minister the sacraments in a tongue not understood by the people. Now, in this sense, we differ from the Muslims, who account that the Arabic Quran is the only word of God. You'll take out your scripture sheet. On the front, you will see the Lord's Prayer. And on the back, you will see a summary of about 100 years of scholarly research, which you can look at a later time. The title for today's message is, What Does It Mean to Pray? Jesus said, Pray then like this, Our Father, who art in the heavens. And then three petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then three petitions about our needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. And then a seventh petition, but deliver us from evil, or it may also be translated, from the evil one. Some manuscripts contain a doxology. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then there is a commentary on one of the petitions. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tricia McFarlane was on a family hike in the Appalachian Mountains. She stepped off the trail for a bathroom break. She lagged behind her family and then stepped off in the woods. A few minutes later, when she emerged, she was on the wrong trail. And that is the setting for Stephen King's novel of terror, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. Tricia sat down, King writes, closed her eyes and tried to pray for rescue. Praying was hard. She found herself lost and without vocabulary. She said, Our Father. It came out flat and uncomforting. She could not remember discussing spiritual matters with her mother, but she asked her father only a month ago if he believed in God. God, said Larry McFarlane, now I'll tell you what I believe in. I believe in the subaudible. The what? Do you remember we lived on 4th Street? Remember how the electric baseboard units would hum even when they weren't heating? Tricia shook her head. That's because you got used to it. But take my word, Tricia, that sound was always there. Even in a house where there aren't baseboard heaters, there are noises. The fridge goes on and off. The traffic goes by. We hear those things all the time, but we don't hear them at all. They become Subaudible, she said. Precisely, her father said. I don't believe in any thinking God that marks the fall of every bird, a God that records all our sins in a big golden book and then judges us when we die, but I believe there has to be something, some sort of insensate force for the good. The subaudible, his daughter said. You've got it, said her father. So there's Trish in the woods lost. There she remembers her hero, the great Red Sox closer, Tom Flash Gordon. Tom pulls out miraculous saves for the Boston Red Sox, and when he wins, he points his finger to the sky, giving credit to the God who made the world and revealed himself in Jesus. Well, by now, Tricia is 9 days into the trial of being bud-bitten, scared, cut, sick from bad water and poisonous berries, and she pleads to the God of Tom Gordon, please, God, help me find her path. It was not to her father's subaudible that she prayed, but to the personal God of the Boston Red Sox closer, Tom Flash Gordon. Now, when life was in danger and hope was fading, this fictitious character cried out to the living God. She did not cry out the Buddhist blessing of the fourth be with you because it is subpersonal, whereas the God we Christians serve is not only personal but suprapersonal in the relationships of the Holy Trinity. Now, each of you is a person because you have personal characteristics. You have will and mind and memory. There is only one of you. You have intuition. You have the power to move and relate and to think. You are a person. And the Lord God Yahweh of the Hebrews and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is surely not less than we are, since we are made in the divine image. God is not a blob or a hum or an it or an impersonal force. Father is the word that Jesus used. And it points to God who is deeply and tri-personally responsive. That's called the Lord's Prayer because the Lord gave it. It could be called the disciples' prayer since they were the ones who received it and passed it on with minor variations. It was first spoken in Aramaic, which is Jesus' mother tongue. It was translated into Greek for the New Testament. It was translated into Latin for the Vulgate. It was finally translated from Latin into English by some of the English reformers. And it briefly summarizes the concerns of Jesus' ministry. That there is a God who is Father. That this God has a kingdom and a will and a holy name. That this God is able to provide bread and grants us forgiveness and protects us from evil. And that His kingdom is one day coming to the earth. And this God is looking for followers of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now there is one line of the Lord's Prayer that could not apply to Jesus. He had no need to be forgiven because He had no sin. Now in my ministry as a pastor, one of the best disciplines I've ever taken up is the discipline of writing a weekly prayer for the congregation to pray. Now, in that discipline, I stand in the line of the English reformers who gave us the Book of Common Prayer. And so each week I spend a couple of hours writing a prayer that's based on that week's scripture passage and hopefully has some merit and good theology and invokes all the persons of the Trinity, and a prayer that we can pray together. But some people say, Pastor, why do you read a written prayer? Why not just pray from your heart? And I tell them, I have looked in my heart, and you do not want to see what is there. Nor do you want me gushing that from the pulpit on Sundays. We are much safer if we follow the Lord's pattern of giving us a word track that covers the material. And Jesus has given us a word track, the perfect prayer from God the Son. Now there are times when I have trouble cranking the old cold engine of my heart. And when I can't think of what to pray, I take out the Book of Common Prayer and I turn to the Collects of Thomas Cranmer And Cranmer teaches me how to pray rightly. Consider this prayer that many of you have heard. Almighty God, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So when your heart is cold and you can't think of what to pray, and when you are wandering around in life, don't trust your own intuitions and your own spontaneity. Pick up and read one of the Psalms, the Prayer Book of Israel. Memorize some of Thomas Cranmer's collects. Pray the Lord's Prayer in order. Slowly. Sometimes when I feel far from God, I will take about 15 minutes and I will pray the Lord's Prayer line by line with long pauses in between. For about the past 2.5 years since my father died, I've hardly gotten past the address, Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. The first one that Jesus called Father was Joseph. He called him Abba in Aramaic. And his mother Mary, he called Emma. For us, it's Dada and Mama. For them, it's Abba and Emma. And it's full of affection and respect. And so when I call out the name, My Father who art in heaven, I'm addressing God. I'm also processing all that it meant to have a father and to be a father. Because in part of prayer is we are reparented by the God who wants us to know that everything good in our parents is in His character and everything bad in our parents is not. About 2 weeks before my father died of leukemia, 2.5 years ago, I was sitting at his bedside. My grandfather died in the state hospital after he beat my grandmother with a shotgun, broke her arm and broke her face. And my dad, a medical student, had to lock up his dad in Bull Street. And I asked Daddy to tell me that story, and that probably was not a smart thing to do, because in that hospital bed, he began to bawl. I don't mean cry, I mean as if it had just happened. He's there dealing with his dad who's been dead 50 years. I'm sitting there dealing with him, and I know my son's dealing with pain that I gave him. And I saw in that moment 4 generations of the difficulty of being a good human father. And that sin is not just the bad stuff we do, it's the pain that comes down the generations. So when we come before God with our Father who art in heaven, God wants to reparent us and sort all that out. Our Father who art in the heavens. And then Jesus starts with 3 petitions about this God. Because God's character is holy, God is transcendent, God is other than creation, God's name is holy, so hallowed be thy name. And God as a ruler has a kingdom. Now, in the heavens where God lives now, where He dwells, the invisible part of creation, which is at least as varied as the earthly creation, God's rule is unchallenged. But God's rule is challenged down on the earth. So the Christian prays that heaven open and that the kingdom come down right now so that God's will is done at ground level. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer and do those 3 petitions, you are not praying for the gradual improvement of this world. You are not praying that things get a little easier in your corner. You are praying that God bring an immediate end to this history of sin and bring the kingdom down to earth now. We live behind enemy lines on contested soil. My favorite movie of all time is the movie The Longest Day. When it came out in the early 60s, the first time I went to the 1 o'clock show and the 3 o'clock show and the 5 o'clock show. And the reason is I used to go to family reunions and I had uncles that were in those battles. They flew fighter planes and bombers over those beaches. And by the end of that show, I could whistle Colonel Bogey's March. Remember that? I remember that Frenchman going down Normandy Beach on that road. Little beret, little bicycle, baguette under his hand, fog across the channel. He knew the invasion was coming. And so he prayed, come Eisenhower, come Patton, come Field Marshal Montgomery, come Operation Overlord, come to Fortress Europe and free us from the evil of the Nazis. Christians stand behind enemy lines where sin and death and evil reign, and we cry out for God to bring the kingdom and bring it now. And if you can't pray for that, Jesus would say, why? Why can't you pray for a new world where God's will is done in all the details? Now, folks, the church has been praying that for 2,000 years. And the fact that we have survived is part of the answer. But the kingdom has not yet come. And between now and the time the kingdom arrives, there's some things that we need. Did you know there's not an I or a me in this whole prayer? It's all we and us. Even when you pray this prayer alone, you're praying it as a community that's been praying together for 2,000 years. Our Father who art in heaven. Now there are creatures that don't have to eat, and they're called angels. They are sustained directly by the presence of God. But you and I have to eat. We were designed to eat. We have a mouth and an alimentary canal and a waste system. God did not send us with batteries. God bound us in the biosphere to the earth where we have to eat. And if we're going to be faithful with Christ, we got to have daily bread. Isn't it amazing that Jesus jumped from the contemplation of the greatness of God down to big, warm, smelly, mouth-watering Mediterranean loaves of bread? It's as if Jesus said, all this praying will make you hungry. Stop for a supreme pizza. So when I pray for daily bread, I got to make sure you have it, which is why we have a food kitchen here. As long as there's a hungry person in Greenwood, the churches are not doing their jobs. But not only do I need bread, I'm a sinner. I sin against God. I break relationships. Unless I pay attention, I'm going to be no good to anybody. So Lord, forgive me my sins, and I promise to pass it on. So between now and the coming of the kingdom, I need to be sustained in a humane life. I need to work on relationships to give and receive the forgiveness that keeps us open and warm. And finally, because I'm so vulnerable to the worst that's in me, and to the evil one, that I need protection from God against forces that would overwhelm me and lead me away from Christ. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? From evil. Now, if you watch afternoon television long enough and you marinate yourself in American culture, they'll create all kinds of needs in you that you really are really not needs at all. Jesus says in his army, behind enemy lines, praying for the great invasion, you need daily supplies, you need to receive and give forgiveness, and you need to recognize just how vulnerable you are. In 19, I don't know when it was, 8 or 10 years ago, Lori and I went to Munich, and we went to Dachau, that infamous Nazi camp. And I walked in the entrance, and there the barracks on the right and the ovens on the left. And about halfway down that walkway, the guide stopped us and he said, what's not often told is that during the 1930s before the war started, Hitler killed 5,000 priests, pastors, and rabbis in this place to silence the voice of conscience. And it hit me. 5,000 men in my business were killed on these grounds, standing up against temptation and evil. And I reached down and I got a little pebble off the side of the road, and I carried it in my pocket every day. And you know how I use the stone of remembrance? Whenever I start feeling sorry for myself, whenever I feel put upon, whenever people aren't being good to me, when the day is going bad and I want to quit the ministry, I reach in my pocket and I take out that stone and I just rub it until all that sorry just goes away. that nobody has yet come and knocked on my door and hauled me to some prison camp and put my remains in an oven. In a culture that prizes self-indulgence, it's the only way that I can have in me some of the toughness that I need to pray the Lord's Prayer and to recognize that my needs are simple and that the kingdom is my goal. I hope that you will never be able to pray the Lord's Prayer the same way after today. That you will see it as the prayer of an officer reporting to his general for duty. I'm here, Lord. I'm here to hallow your name and pray for your kingdom. And I don't need a whole lot today, Lord. I just need enough bread to get me through. I need enough forgiveness where I don't run off my comrades. And Lord, if you could please protect me from some of the fire of the enemy. Make an advance on my front of the kingdom today, because yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Never mumble this prayer. Pray it. Let God search your heart. Offer yourself for some mission in the kingdom. Don't waste a day on the battlefield. Do not hide from the conflict. Enter your day with the Lord's Prayer. And then serve that Lord all day long. So when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you've got a report to give your captain about how it went on your piece of the front that day. And then prepare for the next day's battle. Because, folks, baptism is on to a battlefield. None of us are going to make it off this battlefield. They're going to carry us all off on a stretcher. There is no rear place in this battle. And the victory belongs to Jesus Christ, who has not even left our prayers to ourselves, but tells us how to pray. Take just a moment for the Holy Spirit to press this word deep, deep into your hearts.
Move me, move me, move me to do thy will. Move me, move me to do thy will. Sing it with me. Move me, move me to do thy will. Move me, move me to do thy will.
Let us pray. Oh God, our nation is devastated by drought. Hundreds of homes are being lost to fire. We thank you for the brave men and women with pickaxes and shovels and flying helicopters and airplanes. But Lord, we ask that you would send rain, that you'd put out the fires. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our President Barack Obama and for candidate Mitt Romney. We ask that you would stir their consciences to tell only the truth. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we ask you to guard the units of the National Guard from here that were recently deployed into the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for the McWatty family in the loss of a dear mother and grandmother. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for members of our church who are facing difficult decisions this week. Lord, in your mercy. And let us pray as Christ has taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, these words are found: do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Our ushers will now come as an act of worship. Receive your tithes and offerings. I want the family to come forward now for the baptism. The congregation would please turn to page 39. Today we baptize Caroline Olivia Leopard, daughter of Justlin and Ashley. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And now to Justin and Ashley, these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Caroline Olivia in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now vow for the congregation, read number 8. Do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
And now, as Christians have done since at least the 2nd century, I invite you to join me in the questions and answers of the Apostles' Creed. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The congregation may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you said in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit, and called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations. His glory among all the people.
His glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, Caroline Olivia, may share in Christ's final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Our lay reader will now present our candidate for Christian baptism. Caroline Libby, you are baptized in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Caroline Olivia, you were sealed with the cross of Christ forever. May the Holy Spirit so work in your young life that you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to invite our lay leader, if she would just process about halfway down the aisle and show off the newest Christian at Main Street United Methodist Church. Why don't we sing Jesus Loves Me while she does this?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
When I met with this fine young couple for instruction, and you need to know that they're both missionaries, he in the schools and she in the hospitals. I said to them, when you hand your child to the lay leader, you're giving your child to Jesus Christ. But in about 3 minutes, we will give her back to you because we neither want to change her diapers nor pay for her college education. Caroline Olivia, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And now a blessing for this Christian family. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you all may live in grace and peace. Amen. You may be seated. Congregation, will please stand for our final song, number 473. Kid Atkins will please come forward. Kid is headed to the Philippines on a mission. She's going to leadership training in Manila and do flood relief there in the city with a group of 7 other Methodist women that are going to share their faith and culture with Filipino United Methodist Christians. And she's promised me that while she's away from home, she will not embarrass Main Street United Methodist Church. She will uphold the highest standards in foreign nations. She will be a credit to Christ and to this church. And I want just to pray for her. And then as I leave, I want you to come up here and speak to this family. I want you to come up and speak to Kit and give them your well wishes and promise their prayers. Kit, let me hold your hand as we pray for you. Lord, we thank you that Kit has heard the call to mission, that she works with the poor and plants a garden. And Lord, now she's going 10 time zones away to offer herself to Christ. Go with her. Grant her the power of the Holy Spirit. Protect her. Lord, bring her back lit up with the power of the Holy Spirit that she may give testimony of the works of God in the Philippines. Kit, go with our blessing and the blessing of your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Spread the word that good things are happening at Main Street, that every Sunday morning we gather to sing the praises of this God, to read from His Scriptures, and to celebrate His wonders. And that is blessing enough until we gather together again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.